How is everybody? Good. Well, Jason and Carmen are at convention, so you're stuck with me for this part of the service this morning. However, along with that, we've got quite a few people that are gone on a renewal thing, and we ended up finding out there for a little while we thought all we were going to have was a bass guitar, a drum, and a violin for the praise team this Sunday. So before Brenda was able to change her plans, we'd already talked with the children's department, and they're going to lead worship this morning. So you're in for a good time. Those kids know how to praise Jesus. They're going to have you stand up, and they're going to come in very differently this morning. So I'm just buckle up, all right? It'll be good. So anyway, in the form of announcements this morning, VBS, got a few things. Remember to pray for VBS and all that. Tiff Witt is where? Is she in here? She's sitting out next to the VBS table. She is still in need of some folks to do some baking for her, so if you might be able to do that, please see her after service and get, there she is. Wave your hand, Tiff. There's Tiff. All right, she'll be at the table. Also, Thursday during the break room, or for the break room, we don't have anyone taking over that yet, so if you'd like to do that or maybe hook up with someone to do that, that's just where the teachers go and sort of sit and chat and do all this. And you know, you've had back there before, you've had like fruit trays, maybe meat trays to make sandwiches, just different things like that. If you need any ideas and you might be interested in that, see Tiff for that as well. Also, if you ordered a t-shirt, those are in, so make sure you pick up your t-shirts out at the VBS table, all right? WMU is meeting Thursday the 13th at 6:30. There's more information on the in the bulletin about that. So also, I told you Jason's gone. You know, when the pastor's gone, you get an opportunity to make announcements about him, right? So what happens this morning in service stays in service, all right? Jason's birthday is coming up the 28th, all right? So if you would like to bring cards or anything like that in to help celebrate his birthday, we've got a dinner coming up soon after his birthday, and we're going to give him those cards and all that at the next dinner that we have. But we'll be taking those cards through the 28th. You can give them to Michelle. She should be out at what, it doesn't look like the Welcome Center anymore, okay? But she'll be out there over the next couple weeks, and you can give her those cards there, all right? Already told you, Jason's going to be gone this week. Holly is also out this week. So we have the wonderful, talented, I don't know what else I can say about this lady, but Sandra Lawrence is going to be stepping in for Holly this week. She's going to be there Monday through Wednesday. So if you have anything for the bulletin, it needs to be to her before 10 o'clock on Wednesday. She's going to be running the bulletins at that point, so she needs to have that information if you have anything for her to put in. We need to pray for Sandra this week. She is having a cath. The reason why she's not here Thursday is she's having a catheterization done, getting ready for some pretty extensive heart surgery that will be taking place in Cleveland. She's got three bad valves in her heart. They are going to replace two, and they believe that they can repair the third. But anyway, they're doing the catheterization to make sure there's no blockages or anything like that. So make sure you remember her in prayer, all right? That lady is incredible, right, Jeff? I'm trying to help you, brother. All right. So that should have been a big, huge amen. So anyway, if you're a visitor here with us, thank you for coming here and worshiping with us today. There are visitor's cards in the back of the pews in front of you. If you would, just take a moment, fill those out. We'll be taking up the offering after the praise and worship set. So just take a few moments, if you would, to fill those out once we get that. If you also have any prayer requests or anything that you'd like to have us put on the prayer list, you can also use that for that information as well. One more thing about VBS. See, I keep, this is Rick's ADD. You're following me this morning, right? Online registration is now available. We've also got registration cards out here at the VBS table. So if you haven't done that yet, you can go ahead and do that. When we got that thing first on and we put it on Facebook, my Choir Dude 65 account started blowing up. It was like every minute there I'd get this little notification that somebody else had sent a registration. So once you send that to us, we print it off and we get it in a file and start splitting all that up. And if you can do that, those of y'all that are here, it really helps with the congestion out at the tables for that first part of the morning. So if you're a member and you're bringing a kid, or if you've got a grandchild that you're bringing or whatever, I would highly recommend going ahead and using that. And that way, you know, you can get them straight to their class and all that once we get make for sure we've got it and we can send you on your way, all right? So I think I'm done with it. Oh, no, tonight, Dave Wills will be doing our Bible study this evening. Correct, Dave? Yes. You're all invited. We'll be in here. Pack a line. I was just going to say buckle up was all I was going to say. But brother has it this evening. So anyway, looking forward to that. 6:30 tonight and all that. All right. Well, let's stand. We're going to do our read and response. And then we'll pray, and then we'll welcome each other this morning. All right, so why must the Redeemer be truly God? That because of his divine nature, his obedience and suffering would be perfect and effective, and also that he would be able to bear the righteous anger of God against sin and yet overcome death. And the scripture from that is Acts 2:24, God raised him up, losing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. And that's what we'll be looking at this evening. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity we have to come here this morning. And Father, give back to you today. Father, help us to just worship you, and Father, give praise to you. And Father, we would just pray that you would bless this time with us. Father, we pray even now that your Spirit would be working on the hearts of those. And Father, each one of us needs to hear a message this morning, and each message may be different. And so, Father, we just pray that your Spirit works in the way that only he can. And Father, meet those needs this morning. We pray for those this morning that maybe have never accepted you as Lord and Savior. And Father, just pray that today would be that day. We pray that you'd be with our pastor as he's away. And Father, just pray that you would give he and his wife a time that they can rekindle the fires that they have. And then Father, also as they're at convention, Father, we just pray for our national convention as well and the leadership there. And Father, we just pray that everything that takes place there would be pleasing to your sight. Father, be with Mark as he brings your word this morning. And once again, we just pray that your Spirit would move through him today. And Father, that he would just speak the word that you would have him to share today. Father, we just thank you so much for the time that we can spend together. And we thank you for our children's ministry, who's going to be leading here in just a minute. And Father, we just thank you for the willingness to step in. But Father, also the way that they worship you. And Father, just they don't hold anything back. And so, Father, we just thank you for the time that we can share with them this morning as well. Be with us as we go through the rest of the service. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. If you would, take some time to welcome each other this morning.
music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. Sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. Of Jesus. Sing, sing, sing. And make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us.
Hey, Julie, how many kids do you all normally have back there?
25 to 30.
25 to 30 kids. This was 20 of them, all right? So if they had their normal, we're going to have to, like, expand
vacation.
This area up here. So that's, yeah, vacations have started, but y'all did a great job. Hey, kids, thanks. Great job. Brother Dave, come on up. If the ushers would come on down, we're getting ready to take our morning offering now, all right? So.
Wow. There is hope, is there not? We serve one God, amen? And these youngsters give us joy, bring us hope. As I lead you into a prayer of thanks today, Father God, bless all those in attendance today. Father, we reach out to those who do not know you, Lord. May we be disciples, conduits, or ambassadors to lead these people to know you. Be with our congregation, be with our pastor. He travels. Hopefully he comes back and rekindles us with his fire of desire. We come before you, Lord, with our gifts and offerings for you to use in your will to bring others to know you, to carry on your work around the world. We ask this in our blessed Savior's name. Amen.
If I was in the wild, I would look for leopards and bears.
Probably make friends with animals because they can protect you, of course.
I would be by a lake and then I could just have fun and swim. If I even knew how to swim.
Grab your camera and buckle your seatbelt. Wild encounters are headed your way.
A world of adventure is waiting outside. Come join in the fun on this wilderness ride.
This summer, you'll encounter elephants and egrets, polar bears and penguins, cockatoos and crocodiles. As you gather snapshots of animals, you'll also examine snapshots of Jesus in the Bible. Rawr! Rawr! During this wild adventure, you'll rotate through exciting destinations like Bible study at the Watering Hole, music at Bullfrog Bog, missions at Pachyderm Path, and crafts at Cockatoo Canopy. Beluga Bay provides a cool location for fun rec games, and you can quench your appetite with a snack at the Grizzly Gulch. The best part of each day begins and ends at Panoramic Point, where everyone gathers for a worship rally. This summer, get ready to zoom in and focus on Jesus at In the Wild VBS. Sign up today.
Hey, good morning, church. How are we doing today? Oh, come on. How are we doing today? Good. If you're not awake, you should be. It's awesome to see the energy that young kids have. And it's they're not ashamed, right? They're not ashamed of the gospel. They're not ashamed to be up here praising God, the one that they love. And I think we all can learn from that. I know I can myself. But I think this is the first time that I've got to speak two Sundays in a row. So sorry. You got to put up with me today. But I promise the next hour and a half will fly right by and we'll get out of here in time. So hope you packed a lunch. It's an honor to be here. I appreciate the opportunity. So last week, we talked about the plans that God had for us. It was a graduation Sunday where we recognized and honored our graduates. But it was also a time that I think could apply to everyone. And we talked specifically about how God has a plan for all of us. And it's an awesome, great plan. It's one to prosper us. It's one to look after us and guide us through this thing that we call life. And it's so reassuring to know that God has this perfect will and perfect plan for all of us. And all we have to do is choose to follow it. But today, we're going to kind of back up a little bit. And I want us to go through and try to think about and realize, why do we need this God thing anyway? You know, why do we need it, and what does it mean, and how do we learn about God? And so today, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. And the title is But God. It's kind of a weird title. But you'll see here in a little bit in the Scripture, there is a very definite change from the beginning of the passage to the end of the passage. And the transition is these two words. And because of these two words, we have a hope and we have a future. And you'll see why here in a little bit. So we're going to be talking about grace. And one of my favorite songs is Amazing Grace. And it's awesome to hear and awesome to realize the words in that song. And how much we all need grace. But before we can really appreciate how we need grace, and before we can truly appreciate God's grace, I think it's important for us to all realize how badly we need it and what our current condition is and where we are. Because without realizing how bad we need God's grace, we can kind of take it for granted. And we can kind of get used to it and not really think that it's anything special. But we all need it so very dearly and so badly. So the first thing is our current condition. Our current condition without Christ is we are dead. Period. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If we don't have Christ, we are dead. And we are destined for hell. And there's a lot of family members, there's friends that I know that are great people, nice people, kind people, would do anything for you. But the sad truth is they're dead because they don't have Jesus. And it's up to us to try to spread that word and share the love of Christ. And before we can really appreciate the grace that we have because of God, we have to realize our condition. So if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously lived according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the Spirit, now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and we were by nature children under wrath, as others were also." So very clearly right there, Paul is talking about this condition that we have, and that condition is we're all dead. We're living out our lives the way that we want to, is according to this fleshly desire, according to whatever makes us happy at the moment. And that was the condition that he wanted to stress to them to make them aware of how bad it truly was. And it might have seemed okay at the time, and a lot of times we can get caught up in that. This feels right, or it feels good, or it seems good, it makes me happy, or whatever, but it's really the exact opposite of what God wants. And so the predicament of sin is that everyone is a sinner. And so in considering the predicament of sin, one needs to only understand a simple reality. We're all born sinners, and we're all destined for hell. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and 23 says this: "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." So a couple definitions here for you. The word paratoma, which is actually transgressions or trespasses, it means to slip, stumble, deviate, or go the wrong direction. It means to choose a different path. Remember last week we talked about this plan or this path that God has for us. Well, that path is always there. Now, sometimes we choose not to follow that path. And by choosing a different path is our trespasses or our transgressions. Now, sin means to miss the mark. It is failing to hit the target of God's righteousness and his holiness. So because of our nature to sin, we find ourselves separated from a loving God, condemned to die eternally, and incapable of saving ourselves. So here's an example of us being incapable to save ourselves. Imagine that God is standing right underneath the exit sign here in the back of the sanctuary. And he's just standing there with open arms, saying, "Here I am, come to me." Okay? And so we are all up on this stage, and we are sinners. Standing between us and God is a bath of boiling acid. Okay? Do you know what happens in boiling acid? If you get into boiling acid, what happens? Right? You're dead. And so we might be able to take a run, and I might, if I'm lucky, jump to that first pew right there, maybe. Well, I didn't make it. Somebody else younger, let's say Tim, a little younger, more athletic than I, can get back here and run a little bit faster and jump and might make it to the third row. And maybe somebody else might run and jump and maybe they make it to the fourth row. But what still happens, no matter how closer they're getting by their own actions, what's still happening? They're still dying. They're still jumping into boiling acid, and they're going to die. And so we can't save ourselves. No matter how hard we try, no matter what we do, no matter how close we think we're getting, the result is the same: death. Well, our faith and belief in God needs to realize that we can't save ourselves. We're not capable of doing it just because of our actions or our deeds or what we say, or maybe if I'm this nice of a person, I'll get to go to heaven, or maybe if I talk about the Bible enough. No, we can't save ourselves. So William Temple said this quote. He said, "The only thing that a man can contribute to his redemption is the sin which he needs to be redeemed." Think about that for a minute. The only thing that a man can contribute to his personal redemption is the sin which he needs to be redeemed. God does everything else. That is very true. So the second thing we need to realize, the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is death. And so sin is very costly. It requires death. When the Bible speaks on the topic of sin and death, it refers to a separation. In this text, we're dealing with our condition. He says that we are physically born spiritually dead and separated from Christ. The Bible uses two words for death. First one is nekros, which is a physical death, when the body separates from the soul. And then the other one is thanatos, which is a spiritual death, when the soul is separated from God. In this text specifically, Paul uses thanatos to explain that we're born spiritually separated from God because of our sin. Romans 6, verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death." And so I've used this with our students before. You know, I have a job. I have to go to work, unfortunately. This whole adulting thing just gets in the way of everything. But whenever I go to work, I expect something back in return. I don't go to my job just because I like my job. I mean, I enjoy what I do, but I want something in return. And so I'm giving up of my time, my energy, doing this for somebody else, and I am rewarded with a wage. And in theory, the harder I work, the more I do, the more I should be paid. And so I'm doing something, and I'm earning something in return. Well, it's very similar to school. You can apply that to school as well. The very first day you walk into a class of a new semester, do the teachers just say, all right, everybody here is getting an A+. Has that ever happened? No, not at all. What happens is you work, and you're going to earn something. That might be an A+. It might be an F. It depends on what you put forth. You are earning something in return. Well, here in Romans, it says the wages of our sin. So what we earn because of our sin is death. That is what we rightfully earn is death. And so the key thing there is we. It's nobody else. We earn it. You can't blame it on your neighbor. You can't blame it on your spouse. Well, they made me sin. No, we earned death. That's what we should deserve. And so we're not dead because we've committed sinful acts, but because we are sinful. A man doesn't become a liar because he tells lies. He tells lies because he is a liar. And so just like that, we are all sinners. We sin because we are sinners. And so here's the issue. Throughout history, man has thought that his goodness could earn God's favor. But that isn't what Paul says. He says that we are born spiritually dead, and that no man or no human or no amount of goodness or achievement can solve the sin issue. Nobody can. And so the power of sin. So when we talk about the power of sin, we're really referring to the influence of sin and its ability to kill innocence, its ability to kill ideals, and its ability to kill incentive. And so Paul tells us that sin is really created by three main influencers in these verses. He says that the world, the devil, and the flesh are three big influencers in creating this sin. And so let's look at the world. We've actually been doing a study with our youth group in the evenings about different... you guys remember what we've been doing Sunday evenings? Somebody said, there it is, secular gods. And so three of these are actually some of the secular gods that we've been learning about. And so they influence the world. Humanism. So humanism is placing man above all else, believing that man's abilities and achievements are the measure and end of all things. And so our society kind of backs that up, right? They think that the more you achieve, you get fame and glory and money and riches and all this other stuff if you achieve more. And so that's the humanism. Me above everything else. I need to achieve this. I need to do that. If I could just do a little bit more to get ahead of somebody else. We put so much focus and emphasis and power because of that, that it can consume us. And it can take us off of what our focal point should be, which is God. The second thing of the world is materialism. And we are all guilty of this. Materialism places money and things above all else, believing that what you possess is the measure and the end of all things. And so again, if I can just work a little bit harder, or if I could achieve this, or if I could just get a little bit more money, that'll make me happy. You know, I find it's interesting if you watch car commercials nowadays. I like cars, I like trucks, they're awesome. But if you watch car commercials now, they've made it to where you think that if you buy this certain car, you're going to have this status, right? Everybody know Matthew McConaughey, famous actor. I'm sure all the ladies in here do. Right? All right, and so he's driving this car, And he's some cool dude driving around, you know, looking all prestigious and distinguished. And it even says something about, you know, how buying this car will make you feel like that. Well, it might, but what happens in a couple years after you've had that car? It starts to break down. Things deteriorate. I drive a 2014 pickup truck, and just yesterday the exhaust fell off of it. It's great. It was loud before. It is really loud now. Okay. And so, but our society and our world has put this big focus on what you have, and we have bought into it. We really have. The third influence was hedonism. So hedonism places passion and pleasure above all else, believing that what you enjoy is the measure and end of all things. So it's all about what I'm happy. If it makes you happy, if it feels good, then you should do it. Right? Wrong. So the influence of the devil, that was the second thing. Satan's influence is seen in every realm. He roams, roaring like a lion, waiting to seek those that he might devour. My son Cooper loves animals, and he loves these little action figurine things. I don't know what you call them. Toy animals are about that big. He loves them. And so he and his sister, Harper, will be sitting somewhere playing with these animals, and they've really gotten to like these lions. And so you can just hear them just roaring back and forth and playing and having a good time. And so we've watched some science, Animal Planet type of things about lions. And there's a couple things I've learned about lions. One thing is they like to hunt at night. They like to hunt as a group. And they will seek out the weakest of the animals. And at the right time, they will pounce on it. Well, the devil is like that. He will seek to find our individual weakness. And he'll sit in the background, and he'll wait for the timing to be right, and then he'll pounce. And that might be in the form of some reoccurring sin that we've really been struggling with. It might come in the form of anything that he knows is our weakness. And he will jump and pounce on that. And that is the influence of the devil. The third part was the influence of the flesh. In simple reality, this body that we are living in has one desire, and that desire is to please itself. For instance, how many of you sitting in here today are thinking about where you're going to eat for lunch? It's okay, you can raise your hand. You're not going to be in trouble. I'm there with you. But our bodies naturally want to satisfy itself. When we get hungry, our body makes it known to us that we need food. When we get thirsty, our body makes it known to us that we need water or whatever it is. Our flesh has one main desire, and that is to please and satisfy itself. And so that can be used in some really bad ways that are not pleasing to God. So all these things have been doom and gloom. This hadn't been really a very uplifting spiritual message this morning. But I think it's very important for all of us to realize the condition that we're in. And everything I've said is so true. And Paul, here in Ephesians, says that this is our condition without God. And so what's the cure for this? How do we get out of this condition? How do we get out of this situation? What do we need to do? What do we change? How do we get there? Well, if you still have your Bibles open with you, we're going to continue in verse 4. And here you go. Listen up. But God. Those two words right there are so important. Because here you got the backstage of how everything is bad, how we are in this condition that if nothing changes, we are all dying and going to hell. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead and our trespasses. You are saved by grace. He also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not from works, so that no one can boast. And so right there it is. We are destined for hell, but God changed it to where now we have a chance. Now we have a hope. And now we can understand what this grace thing truly is. And so the cure for all of this is God's grace. And so possibly two of the most important words in the entire Bible is "but God." So it's been said that grace stands for we receive God's riches at Christ's expense. Think about that. Grace. What does grace mean? It means we are receiving the glories and riches from God at Christ Jesus' expense. So he died on the cross so that we could receive this grace. I think that is very, I don't know whoever came up with that, but I think that is so true of what grace stands for. So why does he want to do this? Why would he want to do this? So when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Christ our Savior, that have being justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. That's in Timothy chapter 3. So God's grace is motivated by his love and his mercy. These qualities speak to the true nature and the goodness of God. And so I think it's kind of odd how we sometimes get this feeling, or maybe we've heard it from non-believers, or maybe we thought it before we were saved, that God is just sitting up there in heaven with a whip just waiting for us to mess up. And he just smacks us whenever we're doing wrong. But that's not the case. These verses say that God's grace, he's there wanting to love us, wanting to give us grace, wanting to show us and care for us. All we have to do is reach out and receive that grace. John chapter 3 says that, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son, Jesus." So God's grace has been extended to us through one single method, and that was Jesus Christ on the cross. So his manner of grace. Jesus is God's single means of forgiveness and redemption. People want to have God on their team, but that will never happen if the cross never happened. Isaiah chapter 53 says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are now healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned away to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So no one has been dispatched from heaven on God's account to rescue man except for Christ Jesus." He was sent by God down here to live among us, to save us, to give us a chance and a hope. And why did he do that? Because he loves us. Because of his mercy and love. That's the only reason. Not because what we did. We didn't deserve it at all. But God's love and mercy was the reason why. So it also talks about how he made us. When we were spiritually dead, Jesus made us alive. He breathed life into our spirit. So can you imagine being there whenever Jesus brought Lazarus back to life? That'd be one of those whoa moments, right? this dude has been dead so long, he's starting to stink. And God said, go take off his burial clothes and let him up. And what happened? Just like that. They go, they removed his burial cloths, and he was able to get up and breathe again. It's very similar to us, back to our condition. We are dead. We are in these burial cloths. We're so dead that we're starting to stink. And God says, if you believe, I will breathe life back into you. And you will have an eternal life forever with him in heaven. 2 Corinthians says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, so the dead is gone, and the new has come, his spirit in us. So he raised us. So there is a picture I saw of a turtle on top of a fence post. Think about that for a minute. A turtle, slow, not very nimble, not very quick, not really athletic, sitting on top of a fence post about 5 foot tall. How in the world did this turtle get up there? Well, it's very obvious that somebody put him up there, right? He didn't just climb up the post by himself. If he would have started to try to climb by himself, he would have fell over backwards. He'd been upside down on his shell, and he probably would have died. So obviously, somebody put him up there. Well, Christians are like turtles sitting on top of a fence post. You're probably thinking, what in the world are you talking about? We are like that turtle on top of a fence post because of our salvation through Jesus Christ, because we didn't do it and we can't do it. Only God can. We get there because of God, not because of ourselves and what we have done. And we owe all that to God. God wants to do more than just give you life. He wants to give you liberty. He wants to set you free from what has been binding you and controlling you. He wants to give you freedom from all that. Freedom to where you don't have to worry anymore. Freedom to where you don't have to stress about the things of this world anymore. It's such a relief to know what your ultimate destiny is. And it's also such a relief to know that God has this perfect will and this perfect plan for you. And so later in the verse, he said that Jesus was there seated with us. Well, that is the act of being seated at the end is a sign of completion. So whenever you've done something, after you're done doing whatever it is, it's probably strenuous or hard. And what do you normally do? You sit down and take a break. That means that you have completed your task. Well, Jesus, after completing his task of giving us this option of salvation, was now seated with God. He is now finished and waiting on us. So here's a story that I'd like to share. It's a testimony of a lady who for over 20 years was a prostitute in Houston. All of her life was abusive, and she just wanted to be a lady, but nobody would treat her like a lady. She didn't look very feminine anymore. She'd been hurt and rejected her entire life. One day she was approached by some men from a church who were out sharing the message of God's grace. She said, no, I can't take that. I have been too bad. I have made too many mistakes. You don't understand what I have done in my life. God cannot possibly love me. The church people said, yes, God can love you. And so one night she knelt down on the sidewalks in Houston. And by her own testimony, she said, I knelt down a prostitute, but stood up a lady. And so God has the power to change lives. He has the power to transform us, power to wash away our past, where our past doesn't matter. But now we are a new beginning and a new life in him. And so verse 10, if you still have your Bibles open. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. And so that is our calling. And so our condition was we're destined for hell. Doom and gloom. There is no option. We are all born sinners, and we're going to die and go to hell without the love and saving grace of Jesus Christ. And then the cure for all this, this cure that we talked about, is God, and that he has this awesome plan for us. And it's because of his love and his mercy that we have this opportunity. And so once you accept that opportunity, once you accept Jesus Christ as your only Lord and Savior, then what? For our calling is to be workmanship. God says that once we receive him as a Savior, we become tools in the hands of the Master. He says that doesn't just save us for eternity, but also to serve him until his return. This means that we are on mission for him, that he has prepared purpose for our lives, that our focus and activity always seeks first his kingdom and his righteousness. So if you are saved, you no longer live for yourself, but you now live for God. Anything less than that is not what God planned. So I'm going to finish up with another little story. There was a pastor in Tennessee who had a lady in his church who was in her mid-80s. She was living in a nursing home, but she was one of those who had a weak body, but her mind was still sharp as a tack. She said, "Pastor, I know I'm not going to live much longer, but before I die, I'd really like to see the ocean. I've never been out of the state of Tennessee, and I've never seen the seashore." The pastor shared this story to a couple of his deacons, and they planned a trip. They went to the nursing home and loaded her into the van and drove 12 hours from Tennessee down to the Gulf of Mexico. They parked as close as they could to the beach and lifted this dear saint out of the van into a wheelchair and took her to the top of a sand dune. It was one of those beautiful spring days when the water was blue and the sky was blue, and you could hardly tell where the two met on the horizon. The pastor said he looked at this dear woman, and her eyes were moving from side to side, trying to take it all in. As tears streamed down her wrinkled cheeks, she turned to her pastor and said, "It is so good to find something that there is enough of." And so as we're standing here today thinking about God's mercy, think of it like this. So we're looking out at the shoreline of God's mercy into the ocean of his grace, looking at the skyline of his love, and it's the same thing. There is nothing so wonderful as that, that there is enough mercy, there's enough love, and there's enough grace to go around to everyone. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter if you think you're so bad that God can't love you. It doesn't matter if you think that you've done so much that God's grace can't overcome that. But there is. God has enough love, enough grace, enough mercy, enough kindness to overcome all of that for every single person here today. And it'll never stop. It's not just a one thing that you get it and then he leaves. He builds a spirit and he lives inside of you for eternity. And so what an awesome thing to think about, that we can be Christ-like, that we can have this opportunity for an everlasting life with Jesus. All we have to do is believe, and all we have to do is accept. So we're going to have a time of invitation here, and I would ask that you would pray with me as we get ready to go to invitation. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's clear in your scriptures this morning that we were all doomed and destined for hell. Paul made it very clear that we cannot save ourselves. It doesn't matter what we do, it doesn't matter what we say, it doesn't matter how we try to turn away from these sins. We cannot do it on our own. And Paul makes it very clear that, Lord, that you are the only way. You are the only one. And you are the only way that can overcome all of these things. You can overcome my past sins and my future sins. You can overcome any challenge that we've ever faced. And Lord, it's an awesome thing. It's a simple free gift that you have given us. that all we have to do is believe. It's simple as that. Lord, if there's people here this morning that have not accepted this gift of love and grace from you, Lord, I ask that they would come forward today and receive the gift. Lord, if there's people here today that are struggling in their faith, they know you, they have been redeemed, but man, they're just struggling. They're struggling following this path that you've laid out for them. Lord, I ask that you would give them reassurance and let them know that you are there with them, that you're holding their hand every step of the way. And Lord, we just pray these things this morning. We thank you for all the wonderful things that you've given us. And we ask these things in your son's name. Amen.